And I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me, and now I may reply, how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Furthermore, wine betrays the haughty man, so that he does not stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, and he is like death, never satisfied. He who gathers to himself all nations and collects to himself all peoples. Will not all these take up a taunt song against him, even mockery and insinuations against him, and say, woe to him who increases what is not his, for how long, and makes himself rich with loans? Will not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them, because you have looted many nations. All the remainder of the peoples will loot you because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the town and all its inhabitants. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house to put his nest on high, to be delivered from the hand of calamity. You have devised a shameful thing for your house by cutting off many peoples. So you are sinning against yourself. Surely the stone will cry out from the wall, and the rafter will answer it from the framework. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and founds a town with violence. Is it not indeed from the Lord of hosts that peoples toil for fire and nations grow weary for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Here ends the reading of the word.
Morning. When you are in a different church, sometimes you get confused. You don't know the road to pass, so they have to direct you. Because I was looking through the bulletin and I thought, oh, so it's time for me to preach. And the pastor says, no, because something must come before that. Good morning again. First of all, I want to thank you for the assistance that this church has given to my ministry, for all the prayer support and the financial support that you gave. Without you, I wouldn't have been able to reach where I have reached with my ministry. I think it was God's own working, and I believe that 15 years ago, the Lord led me to this church through my brother in Christ, John. I first met him in Greenville, a very cold place. I didn't like the weather there, but I like the scenery. It was beautiful when you are inside and you look outside, it's so beautiful. But to go outside, no, I just couldn't. I remember one time, I don't think he remembers it. He took me to some few places and showed me some places, but he was enjoying the weather. I didn't enjoy the weather. And I met him through Pastor Steve Newt. So you can see how God works. Every day we hear of militants, Islamic militants, destroying homes, villages, killing people, especially Christians. decapitating them, believing that they are serving God. Sometimes we get angry. Yes, we have to be angry, because how can somebody go and capture another human being who has done you nothing and just kill you, claiming that his God has sent him to preach the message of peace and love. Peace and love. And yet that God is destroying people's lives. They call their religion the religion of peace, and yet they attack people. Why? Because from childhood, he grew up believing that he has to promote God's religion. From childhood, he grew up believing that anybody who stands in his way is an enemy to God. So to him, he is serving God. He doesn't know that he's going to heaven, but he knows he will get to heaven if God is pleased with him. God asked him or her to go out there and bring other people so that they too will share heaven with him or her. But he is also made to understand that anybody who stands in his way is an enemy. And that person does not love him. That person wants him to go to hell. So whatever he can do to eliminate that person or to clear that person from his path, he must do it. So he grows up believing that he is fighting for God. He is helping to promote God's cause by killing other people. He believes that the Bible that the Christians are reading is corrupted. That's what he was told. That's how he grew up believing. And so, if he sees someone else coming to disrupt his way of thinking, he will not allow that person, because that person is an enemy to God. He is a friend to Satan. That is why you hear today the Muslims are fighting and killing and doing all kinds of things. In fact, they started it in 633 AD. Muhammad died in 632 and 633, because he was then ready to go out to conquer the entire world, to spread the religion. They believed that even though he had died, they had to carry on with the job. And they called it the holy war, jihad. Jihad in the Quran simply means striving in the cause of God or in the way of Allah. But when they started spreading by the sword, they claimed, or the leaders then claimed, that they were cleansing the world or forcing or trying to convert everybody to the way of God. And so they called it the holy war. The holy war, because they were promoting God's word. They were spreading, and they believed that Islam, being the last religion, it must spread throughout the entire world. Everywhere. They started in Persia, Syria, Damascus fell to the Muslims. Then they came to the Holy Land, Jerusalem, and they conquered Jerusalem. Then they went to Egypt, and they started spreading to Europe. Charles Martels was the one who first stopped them in the Battle of Tours in 732 AD. But then it didn't stop there. They continued fighting. We know about the series of fights that occurred between Christians and Muslims. I'm talking about the Crusades. That came 400 years later. But it never stopped. It continued. Today we hear of evil in the name of God's religion. They claim that God has asked them to spread the religion through any means, any way, and God is happy. Now, a Muslim doesn't know that he is going to heaven, but he knows that God will eventually allow him into heaven if God is pleased with him. So the Muslim is striving, is doing everything to reach that mark. He's struggling hard, fighting hard to reach that mark. However, the Muslim who dies while fighting for God gets a straight ticket to heaven. And so he comes out fighting. He believes that if he dies fighting, he goes straight to be with God. Of course, when we hear this, we get angry and we want to do something. Now, I understand the mind because I grew up in a Muslim environment. I was made to understand that Christianity had been corrupted by the Christians, the later Christians who came after Jesus Christ, and that Judaism was also corrupted. And so God had to bring in Muhammad to cleanse the corruption and to lead people the right way. I don't want to go into history because this morning is not about history. It's about Islam and Christianity. It's about my ministry to the Muslims and why I'm so passionate about reaching out to people. So I grew up believing that anybody who stood in my way was an enemy. I was to do everything I could to eliminate that person. The Quran is a little bit confusing. Confusing because in one part of the Quran, it says there is no compulsion in religion. And another part, it says, if you strive, that is, if you fight for yourself because God does not need your help. Yet in other passages, we read that you must fight those who don't believe, even the people of the book, that is, the Christians and the Jews. You must fight them and force them and make sure that they yield and they submit to Allah. The same book. So radical Muslims will pick the passages that tell them that they should go out there and fight and destroy lives. Because when they do that, they are promoting God's way. But that's what it says, and that's what their leaders started with. And that's why it is up to today. The Muslim believes that Christianity is corrupted because God is one. And that Jesus Christ could not be God because Jesus was a human being. So to the Muslim, worshiping Jesus Christ is like worshiping a human being, or according to the Quran, it's a partner, as we call it, partnership with God. And in Islam, it is called shirk. It is the sin that cannot be forgiven. So you can see that when a Muslim kills you, he thinks he's doing God a service. As Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, he said there is going to be a time when somebody kills you, he believes he's killing, he's working for God, he's serving God. But Jesus said, no, they are not serving God because they don't know me and they don't know the Father. So to the Muslim, what he is doing is right. When a Muslim attacks you or says something against your religion and you also respond in the same manner, you are not helping. You are even giving him the chance to fight back because he knows that you are defending your false religion and you want to fight him. At that time, I was a river. Is it River Rock? River Rock. And I gave an overview of the history of Islam. This morning, I'm not going to do that here because I don't have time to do that. Because of the I'm in church, you are given a certain time and you have to stay by that time. Otherwise, they will ring the bell and say, hey, your time is up.
The music starts playing.
That's right. So, Islam is continuing to spread and they believe they are going to spread. So, if we sit down and we do nothing, it will continue spreading. So it means we have to do something about it. When I was a Muslim, I wanted to say, normally sometimes when I talk, I come to this point, I forget myself and I say Christian because I'm a Christian. But when I was a Muslim, I believed that the Christians were wrong in everything that they do. I wanted to be a Muslim scholar, writing books, to explain how Christianity is not a true religion. Today I find myself, since 1980, writing books explaining why Christianity is the best religion and Islam is not the best religion. If someone had told me that I'll come to this point in my life, I would have said it's not true. How did it come that instead of writing against Christianity from 1980, I've published books speaking about the Christian religion, explaining the Christian religion to Muslims, and explaining the deity of Jesus Christ to not only Muslims, but to other people? Because one day I decided to take my life because I was so frustrated in life. I didn't have the peace that I needed. So this song that was sung today, Satisfied, Hallelujah, I Have Found Him, is my song. Because I struggled wanting peace, didn't understand why so much was happening in the world, and I didn't have that peace that I was supposed to get from God, the God that I served. I did everything. I went to leaders, Muslim leaders, teachers, and I asked them questions. They wouldn't tell me answers. They didn't even have the answers. In fact, it came to a point, they quoted the Quran chapter 5, and they told me that I should not ask questions, because if you ask questions, you might lose your faith if the answers are given to you. And that part of the Quran says that do not ask questions. For some people of old asked questions, and when the answers were given them, they lost their faith. And then he continues, however, you can ask the question when the Quran is being revealed. When the Quran is being revealed, it means when the revelation is coming from God, and you ask, because God is sending the revelation, he will give the answer. But the problem is, Muhammad died so many years ago, and the Quran is no more being revealed. So that means that you don't have the answers now. Now, I didn't understand that, because why? My earthly parents, they may not have all answers to whatever question I have. But if I go to them, they will try to give me answers. So why would God, who took a unilateral decision to create me, when he was going to give me to my parents, he did not ask me whether I wanted to be created or not. He took his own decision and created me. So then why would he then refuse to give me the answers that are bothering me, are worrying me? So I didn't agree. I told them, no, I don't think that is right. So I went back home, and this is a true story. I went back home, sat in my room. I took a pen and a paper, and I listed all the questions. The questions that they wouldn't give me. Put it in an envelope, and I wrote at the back of the envelope to the Almighty God, P.O. Box Heaven. Now, I reasoned that if God indeed is the one he claims to be, then that God will find a way. Either he sends a messenger like an angel or whatever, or even he makes somebody who knows the answer to get the letter and come to give me the answer, because my address was in it. So I went to the post office and I dropped it in the box. I came back home, and then I became frightened, because in Islam, if you provoke God, he can strike you dead. But anyway, I said, well, if I die, it doesn't matter, because after all, I'm suffering this way. I don't understand things. After a few days, I didn't get the answer. No answer was coming. So I began to question the existence of God. Does God really exist? If he exists, why? He knows my heart. Why is it he didn't answer me? Why didn't he send somebody? In fact, it was so many years later that when I became a Christian, that I was giving my testimony to a group of Christians, and then somebody came, stood up and said, yes, they took that letter that day. They were working there. They took the letter. A Muslim and a Christian took the letter that day, and they didn't know what to do with it. And I thank God that they didn't come to me to tell me, because a Muslim and a Christian, what would they tell me? So because I did not hear from God, and I began to doubt the existence of God, I told myself that I have to live a certain kind of lifestyle, a lifestyle that is pleasing to me, because there is nobody who is going to hold me accountable. If God really cared, he would have come to me. Now, I did not go to any meeting, any Christian meeting, to listen to the gospel. I wouldn't even go there, because I was told that the Bible that we have, this Bible is corrupted, full of interpolations. The Christians have changed it, so it is no more the word of God. The Quran is the word of God. So I started living my own lifestyle, enjoying the kind of life I was living. It was okay for me. I thought that was how God created us and wanted us to, go ahead, play your life, live it. When you die, you die. After 3 years, I became addicted to drugs and all kinds of evils. Then I didn't love living anymore. So I kept telling myself that, oh, why should I waste my time in this world? And then I contemplated suicide a number of times. One day, as God would have it, and I mean it, as God would have it, I overdosed myself and I collapsed. And I believe that it was God who made it to happen that way. I overdosed myself, I collapsed. I lay there for some time. Then I opened my eyes. Then I realized that I had been in that state for almost about 3 days, Wednesday to Friday. So when I got up, sat on the bed, then I heard a still small voice speaking to me, calling my name. I was in the bedroom, and this was in the living room. And I heard the voice calling me. I knew somebody was calling me. Maybe my uncle was calling me, or somebody was calling me. So I got up, I went to that place, and I didn't see anybody. Then the voice came again. So, oh, the person is in the bedroom. So I went back to the bedroom, nobody again. So I sat and I was frightened. What is happening? And then I heard, the third time I heard was, you have tried everything. And that was true. I tried everything, drugs, everything, religion, anything at all. That you've tried everything and you have not succeeded, you have failed. Why did you try the Bible? And I was frightened because how would I go to the Bible when the Bible is already a corrupted book? Why should I touch this filthy, this evil book, this satanic book? But the voice was very strong, so powerful, speaking as if somebody was speaking. Though I didn't hear it as I'm speaking to you now, but deep inside me, I could feel that somebody was speaking to me and telling me something. Now, at that time, I didn't know there's a part in the Bible to say still small voice. So many years later that I got to know that I saw a man called, what's his name, Elijah. I said, oh, so this kind of thing is there. And I realized that that's how God speaks to people. So if someone tells me that the Muslims will never hear of God, they will, before they die, they will hear of God. Somehow they will get the message. But as to how what they do with the message is left within them and God. So, but then I told myself that if I go to the Muslims to ask them, I go to the Muslims, my Muslim teachers, because they were already prejudiced against Christianity, they were going to tell me things that will favor Islam and things that will go against Christianity. So don't go to them at all. They will even get angry because they know you are a troublesome guy. You keep coming to them with questions that they don't want you to. They have already given you a passage from the Quran that says that do not ask questions. But if I go to the Christians too, they're already, also prejudiced against Islam. They'll tell beautiful things about Christianity, false teachings. So why would I go to them? Then I reasoned that the only one who could teach me was God himself. If he is alive, he should be there to teach me. He was going to be my teacher, and this is what I was going to do. I'm going to take the Bible, take the Quran, I put them side by side. I'm going to read the two books together. I'm going to read them and study them. If both religions are from God, then they will not contradict each other. But if they contradict, then it means one is of God and one is not. And if one is not from God, then it means that God, who is my teacher, will tell me which one. I wouldn't go to any human being. Now, that was February 1970. So I believed that within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because I was a good reader, of course, I had difficulty in some of the English languages because I'm not an Englishman, but I could read, I could study, and I was good in reading, so I said, well, in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I should be able to read through. I loved reading, and I still love reading. I didn't know how long it was going to take me. I was just reading and studying, and during that time, I would come across certain passages in the Quran and in the Bible, and I would sometimes go to the Muslim scholars. I didn't go to any Christian anyway. I go to the Muslim scholars, the teachers, and I ask them, and then we'll sort of try to discuss the issue. And I didn't know that all this while God was building me up and teaching me how to investigate and to become an apologist. And I didn't know that I was going to be a Christian apologist because I knew that Christianity was evil. So 1970, it was up to, I studied the Bible and the Quran side by side till 1974. And then I found Jesus Christ. And that's the hallelujah, I have found him. Now I was sure that this is the man. This is the one that I'm looking for. This is the guy. He is the savior, not the other one. Because during that period, I saw passages in the Quran that related to the divinity of Jesus Christ. I don't want to go into that here. Then God spoke to me again. I want you to take the message to the people. Now, I was very temperamental. I was an angry person. I had no patience to listen to people. When I say A, it must be A. If you say B, no, it is not going to be B. I will fight you. Of course, I was a boxer. I was a professional boxer too. From bantamweight, I became a champion. And then I started from flyweight, actually, to bantamweight, became a bantamweight champion. And then I got to the flyweight, and Jesus knocked me down. So I couldn't get up when he knocked me down. And I surrendered my gloves. But I took to something different, that is, to fight for God. However, God told me, you are not going to be that kind of a fighter. You're going to use love to reach the hearts of people. If I tell the people in my country are surprised to see that I'm somebody who is so patient and so tolerant, you know, they don't know whether I'm the same person or a different person. Because I wouldn't listen to you twice. And that's what the Muslims are. They won't listen to you. So God now told me I should go out there and preach love. That's why I wrote this book, Conquering Without Being Violent. There's another book, which is Winning Without Attacking. You can win without attacking. And in that book, I've described how Christians have the good message. They have the right message, a very powerful message, but they don't know how to present the message. They use the frontal attack. And you know, when you use the frontal attack, the Muslim is already in the battlefield ready for you. So you use it, he also is going to counter. And it's going to be it's not going to be a dialogue, but it's going to be a war of words. And you can't win the Muslim by fighting, but you win the Muslim through the love of Christ. Jesus Christ met a Samaritan woman, a woman by the well, who was, let me use the word, a prostitute. She had lived with about 5 people, and number 6 was there. And Jesus Christ comes along, looks at this woman, knows that this woman needs salvation. But he knew that if I tell her that she's bad, she's wrong, she's going to fight me because why? I'm a Jew, she's a Samaritan. And you know, the Jews and the Samaritans did not talk to each other. So what did he do? He started dialoguing. Give me water to drink. And you know the story. Eventually, he was able to win the heart of the woman, and the woman was able to take the message back. And that's what we are doing with our message. We sit with you, we create a dialogue. We create a dialogue in such a way that you will ask us the questions about our religion, and we will tell you who Jesus Christ is. Now, I believe that even though what we are hearing evil, and sometimes we are discouraged about what is happening all over the world, I still believe that what God said in the Bible, that the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, shall be accomplished. But it shall be accomplished only when we also get up and do something. That's why Jesus told his disciples to go out into the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And we are doing that there. When people are using anger, we are using the love of Christ to teach them and to let them to understand that God loves you. We have a way of presenting the message so that they will... We don't tell them that you are wrong, but we show them that they are wrong. By the grace of God, we've been able to reach out to many people. And now we are building a mission center to train more people to reach out to the Muslims. We have decided that we are going to be there. We know that these people will arrest you. They will capture, when they capture you, they will cut your head off because that is what they believe in. But we are going to be with them, and we are going to talk to them and make sure that they bring them, I mean, they come to Christ. I remember one day I was on a bus. It was a three-hour journey from Tamale to Bolgatanga. I was holding the book, Winning Without Attacking. The Muslim look at it, you know, winning without attacking, you know, it talks to their mind. I choose the titles because of the nature of the Muslims. Conquering without being violent, conquer, you know, they like to conquer and all that. So every time I choose these titles, it speaks to their mind. So this my young man was sitting behind me, a university student sitting behind me, level 400, sitting down, looking at the title. I was flipping through the pages. I didn't know that he was interested. After a while, he asked me, how can I get this book to read? And I told him that, if you want the copy, I can give it to you free. Only promise me that you're going to read it. The first thing he said, I'm going to read it, but you know what? I don't want to promise you that I'll be converted. I said, I didn't tell you I was going to convert you. I said, you read it. The whole three-hour journey became a dialogue, a discussion about Jesus Christ. We talk about Boko Haram, we talk about ISIS, all those, Al-Qaeda and all that, talking about them. And I was talking about how Jesus conquers with love. How Jesus being the Prince of Peace. In fact, Christianity is the religion of peace and not other religions. Everybody accepted what the message I was giving them. Now, just when we were getting into the terminal, they asked me, who are you? They didn't know I was the writer of the book. They didn't know I was the author. They said, but who are you? Then I said, that's my name here. So, that's your name. So we know this name. We'll be hearing this, your voice on radio. And we have a radio program called The Peacemaker. We have also a blog site, Conquering Without Being Violence. I don't have enough time to tell you everything. The table, when you go to the table there, you will see some materials lined up. Pick whatever you want. And if you get this book, please try to read it. And then take this card. It will give you the address to my website. And I would like to hear from you. Now, the books, I'm supposed to sell them, but I have decided not to sell them to East Winthrop Baptist Church because East Winthrop Baptist Church helped me. So why should I sell them? But I cannot say, just take them and go. So if you can give me a donation, that would be great. Because I really want to complete that mission project that we've started. We are going to train people. In fact, it's going to be 3 months intensive training. 3 times in a year. That's 3 batches. We have finished the first phase by your help, of course. We finished the first phase. We were supposed to move in. But because of my trip to the United States, we have postponed it to the end of October. And then we will start with the classrooms. We have a recording studio, but we're going to build a bigger recording studio and auditorium. And then hostel, because we want to camp them there for the 3 months they're going to be there, and we're going to provide one meal, that is afternoon lunch for them. So that they will feed themselves in the morning, they feed themselves in the evening. But in afternoon, we'll give them food. We don't want them to go out, and then because they have gone out, and they will tell you that, I went out looking for food, so I couldn't come for the classes. So we'll make sure that they are there, they eat. But I need you to help me. I need you to pray with me. We want to be there. You can't be there, but you can send us out there. And I want to thank you for everything that you have done. The Bible tells us that your help will not be in vain. Because whatever you give to God. And God himself shall reward you. Anybody that comes to Christ through our ministry, I don't see it as I or any of my team members doing the job. I said it is you. Because if you hadn't sent me out, if you hadn't sent us out, if you hadn't built the center for us, we wouldn't have been able to do what we have done. So I would say thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you. But I believe that God himself will thank you in an appropriate way. Continue to pray with us as we are praying for you. It has been my wish that I come here with my wife, because I've been coming all the time and she doesn't come. She's not able to come. So if God permits, maybe next year she might come. But I'm giving you an invitation. I've asked Pastor Sam and Tyler was there sometime. That was how many years back? 4 years back, yes. And unfortunately, he couldn't finish the trip, the program, because of one or two reasons. But this time, I wanted to come. So yesterday, I was talking. I think we had a discussion, and we felt if we could come, my wife would come with me, and then us, when we are returning, all of us will go together. We'll look at that, so that be praying. And I believe God wants you to come. I believe God wants you to come. Because when you come and see what you are, what you have done through your support, though you are not there physically, but financially you are there. When you come and see it, you will say, praise the Lord. And I believe that God will achieve greater things because we are pressing on. We are pressing on. We know we haven't reached the goal yet. And so we are thinking of how we can accomplish greater feats for the gospel. And I believe that God will help us. Please keep on praying for us. May the Lord bless you for all that you have done for me and for my people. My wife has been praying for you. My children has been praying for you. They don't know you, but they've been praying for you. Anyway, they know Smith, the Tyler, and they have spoken. Hadassah has spoken to you on phone before. Of course, our English is very difficult and hard to understand, but I think you managed to understand whatever she said. And every time they ask of you, but one day we shall meet here. Maybe some of them will come here and then you will also go there. But I say, keep on praying with us. Don't lose hope. Know that you have started a good work. And that work, God himself will reward you. Amen.